Mom's Life.
Even when I'm walking through the valley of dark shadows, even when I'm overwhelmed beneath the weight of sorrow, even when I can't outrun my fears and every other hope has disappeared, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. I've still got Jesus, oh, I've still got Jesus, closer than a brother, no matter where I am. When I need an ally in the fight, and need to know somebody's on my side, He always steps in, I've always got a friend. Can take away all of the things down here I treasure. You can leave me nothing but the breath inside my lungs. Still I know that I'd have everything. I can lift my empty hands and sing at the end of the day. With joy I can say, still got Jesus, oh, I've still got Jesus, closer than a brother, no matter where I am. When I need an ally in the fight, and need to know somebody's on my side, He always steps in.
Welcome back to It's a Mom's Life here on Active FM. Yes, it's been a week, right? So yes. Last week we spoke about healing the family all around, rejection, you know, right from conception even till birth, right? There can be rejection within the family. How we can apply the blood and counteract that rejection over ourselves and our children is what we chatted about last week.
Yes, and family is one of the most important pillars of society. We break the family, we break society. We build the family, we build society, we'll then build the nation. So the issue of healing in the family, we can speak on forever. We can speak on this topic forever because so much brokenness within parents and children. And I pray that as you hear these conversations, it will allow God to heal you and heal your family. Yeah. As Denise said last week, we covered two of the things that causes wounds in the soul, and we'll look at more of that today.
Yeah. So the first one here is rejections throughout your childhood, right? So not only from conception to actually birth, But also through our childhood, I think all of us have experienced rejection, right? But some rejection is worse than others, and some people, children, don't know how to deal with rejection.
Mm.
I am like in that stage right now, even as an adult, but maybe Ted will touch on that later. In general, experiences early on in life affect the behavior, character and personality of an individual in future. The largest traumas have their origin in the carelessness of parents towards their children. So what is this basically telling us? We as parents need to be so careful that we don't give our children everlasting trauma. Okay.
Yeah,
now that doesn't mean that you can't discipline them and you can't say certain things that need to be said, but you need to watch how you say certain things. And again, there's a really fine line there, but also why you're saying it. What is the intention? This trauma could affect them in adulthood. There's a lady that I've been basically speaking to, and she actually spoke about, you know, one of her children who are very much older now that have gone to see a psychologist, and something has come out from her childhood that she had never spoken about. And it was some kind of molestation, which is many people's stories. And, you know, she was kind of saying she's not sure if it's true or not. She's not sure. So she's asked some of the family if it ever happened to them. But this child is traumatized by this. Now, us as parents need to make sure that we try and have as much open lines of communication as possible to ensure that our children can speak to us. And if something's bothering them, that they can speak to us. I think I made the mistake the other day when I was also speaking to Joshua, but the way I said something was I think it was the Holy Spirit going, "You're saying that wrong. He's going to be scared of talking to you." And I'm like, "Oh, I don't know how not to say it now."
So isn't that all of us?
Yes. But stepping back, letting it go, then coming to it later and going, "I said this and this is what I meant," is really important. So not always nipping it in the bud in the moment, but actually waiting, let things cool down, and then go back to your child and then explain the certain issues. So every child wants to feel important, and experts expects their parents to express it through touch, hugs, words of encouragement. Are we now this is not funny touch. This is a hug. This is a holding of a hand, compassion, nothing sexual. Those kind of interactions and a word of encouragement. If you really can't do the hugging, touching thing, because some people really can't do that, make sure that there's words of encouragement. It's really important to do that. So Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, "Direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it." Amen. So if you're directing them at an early age, it's easy to get them into the place you want them to, rather than them growing up and now you can't.
Yeah, that's very good. Denise, this is so loaded. We can speak on this like forever, because there's so much. And if as a parent, right, you grew up like this, being rejected throughout your childhood, you can easily slip into the same trap and do that to your children. I'm speaking from, this is my testimony. I remember growing up, we were always teasing each other, you know, amongst the siblings and amongst the cousins. It was the norm. We would tease each other, but brutal about how you look, how tall you are, how thin you are, or how dark you are, or any part of your body. So we literally did that on a daily basis. And I remember how we have encounter weekends at church, that God showed me how that actually affected my self-esteem growing up as a child. Because everybody used to say, "You were always loud and confident." And when they saw me years later, this is now even as an adult, quiet, and they're not used to that dando. They're used to someone who's always, you know, talking and open.
Yeah.
And I remember I started teasing my kids. Like Mika is the one who got the first blow of my teasing, and not even being like, "I'm teasing you now," but saying, you know, because he's very tall. So I would call him skinny long legs. And I remember I used to call him all that, and he would say, "Mommy," and I'll be like, "I'm just teasing." But one day when I said that to him, and I remember the Holy Spirit saying, "Stop," like sternly, "stop saying that to him. It's going to hurt his self-esteem." And now when he said that, remembering what had happened to me after, you know, I've been hearing words of discouragement growing up, and now I'm doing the same to my child. That really, really sobered me up. And I was like, "Sorry, Lord, I would never tease my kids again." And if I don't even remember a time where I actually teased them, I'm so aware of when I'm about to say something that's going to affect their self confidence because I know it happened to me. But as a parent, you can easily do that jokingly or teasing around, or maybe sometimes when you're angry, but words really are powerful.
Yeah.
The words that you speak to your kids, they might even affect them as adults. I mean, as an adult, I'm still dealing with confident issues. Then that started way, you know, with childhood, with all those small little things. It might seem like a small thing. I'm just teasing. I'm just playing. But it actually affects your soul.
Yeah. But I think also, like, if you do it as a parent, sometimes, you know, it can come across as okay, you know, like, oh, it's just a tease. And they know that. But the problem comes in with if they're in school and someone teases them, it's a different tease. So now they go, oh, that wasn't nice. Now they relate that back to what you said. And now what you said is just completely out of the context whereas you didn't mean it that way, but so that's why we sort of have to be careful. It was very, very good comment there. So, communicate. Parents should spend time with children in their walk through life. It's so important for us to be able to sit down with our kids, even at a young age, and go, you know, what are you battling with? What are you dealing with? How can I help you? That kind of thing. It says in Deuteronomy 6:6-7, and you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home, when you are on the road, when you're going to bed, when you're getting up. Talk to your children about the word of God. Ask your children, what are they dealing with? And then bring the word of God into it and go, this is what the Bible says. This is what teaching our kids is. Respect, right? If parents often shout at their children, they think it's the right thing to do. But if he respects, values, and accepts their opinion, they'll be able to develop successfully in life. Now, maybe we shouldn't always shout at our kids, you know, sitting down and explaining to them why things should and shouldn't be done. So yes, there's times, the Bible also talks about there is a time too, right? There's a time to shout. There's a time to sit down and actually talk calmly. So we shouldn't always shout all of the time. 1 Corinthians 13, we all know what 1 Corinthians 13 is. Love is patient. It is kind. Love is not jealous. It is not boastful, proud, or rude. Does not demand its own way. It's not irritable, etc. If we're teaching our children these things, you know, they will, like it said here, sorry, I just want to go back here. They'll understand how to respect you. They'll understand the values now. They'll understand that there's an opinion that they need to accept. Instead of just shouting all the time, it's like, okay, well, you know, apparently it's a fact that the kids get used to their mother's shouting voice. So when the mother shouts, they just like switch off. I don't know how true that is.
I think it is because sometimes it's like, they don't hear you. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
So the second one is parental abandonment. Nobody can replace your parent. A child feels abandoned when it is handed over to third parties to be brought up, like, you know, grandparents, aunties, neighbors, or whoever. And in our nation, this is one of the huge problems where many children are not raised by their parents for different circumstances. I mean, children harbor resentment if they are brought up in this experience while they were young. And when they're older, you can see the evidence of that. Children who have Christ, though, I love this so much. Please listen. Children who have Christ will be transformed and healed from this as they allow the Holy Spirit to work in them. And if they never had to deal with the issue of abandonment, God will restore.
Yeah,
I love that. When Christ is involved, if you've been abandoned by your mother or you were raised by a third party, God can restore you from this wound.
Amen. Sexual abuse. Many times this happens with close families. The wound is a very deep wound, right? To such an extent that many years may pass and the person does not feel healed. Only Jesus' power can perform this miracle. Well, when there's a situation where there is sexual abuse, it's not something we should take lightly. It's not something we should push under the carpet. We've heard many stories of women who just go, it's a part of life. It's not a part of life.
No.
So dealing with the sexual abuse situation should always be dealt with on a daily basis. It's not just a once off. Yeah. There you go. It needs the blood of Jesus. We need to ask God to perform a miracle for situations like those.
No, very true, Denise. And when it says it's close, and it's so close, I've heard a girl who told me that her dad did that to her. Like, can you imagine how that's like close?
Yeah.
And how do you get healed from that without Christ?
It's almost
impossible.
No.
There's so much we can cover in terms of all the things that causes wounds, but these are the ones that, you know, we pulled out, and we're hoping that they really were helpful and encouraging. And there is hope. If this has happened to you, it's all done and over. No, Christ has the power to redeem.
Yeah.
We're going to end off with this wonderful verse from Isaiah 54, verse 4 to 7. Fear not. You will no longer live in shame. Don't be afraid. There is no more disgrace for you. You will no longer remember the shame of your youth and the sorrow of your widowhood. For your Creator will be your husband. The Lord of heaven's armies is his name. He is your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of all the earth. What an encouraging word.
Yeah.
God is speaking to you and to me. He says you will no longer live in your shame. God is your Redeemer and your healer.
Yeah,
no matter what people have done to you, no matter what people have said to you, God speaks a different word over you. You are not rejected. You are not alone. You are accepted through the blood of Jesus.
Amen. Well, we hope that you were encouraged this week.
Yeah.
You know, some of these things may have been hard to take in, but it's definitely eye-opening for all of us.
Yeah, very true.
We hope that you join us next week, however. But in the meantime, that's it from myself and Tandal on It's a Mom's Life, where we live, laugh, and love on Active FM. But check us out on Facebook. We will see you next week.
Next week, goodbye.
Turn up the volume. The volume.
This is Radio On Demand. What you want, when you want it. It's Active FM.
Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts and YouTube.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.